We lost you?
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. When you're up on the mountain, the talk comes so easy. When life's at its best, now it's down in the valley. Trials and where your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right.
Thank you.
Hey, man. Thank God. He's a God of the mountain. Amen. And the God of the valley. Thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Ventura, the Sound Doctrine live broadcast coming to you from Imperial Beach, California. Want to welcome all the guests. Want to thank you for tuning in this evening. We have an interesting program for you. I apologize for the program announcement. I'm looking at my internet spot here, and I see that the posting wasn't exactly posted what we were planning here this evening. And what we have planned here this evening is we're going to talk a little bit about by popular demand. I've gotten a lot of calls, and a lot of people have been asking me, you know, Dr. Venture, could you go back one more time and just touch on some verses between all these new translations? What's the big deal? That's what they're asking me. What's the big deal? And the big deal is that people have changed things in the Bible. And well, you say, well, they're just changing the words. Well, we're going to look at that because that's not true. They're not just changing words. They're changing doctrines in the Bible. Then they're taking the blood out. You know, an NIV is 60,000 words less than a King James Bible. Where, oh, where did those words go? One has to ask himself, where? Who took 60,000 words out? Amen. Well, I want to thank the listeners around the world and those who have supported us this past week, prayed for us, so we want to thank you. So we want you to know we love you in the Lord, and we're going to have a prayer, and we're going to read a little bit from the Bible and do a little study together. I believe Brother Andrew's in here somewhere, and if he's not, he'll be calling in, and we'll hook him up. But Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we bow down before you, Almighty God. For you are the God of the mountains and the God of the valleys, and you alone are God, Lord. And we just praise you, and we thank you for your word, Father, and thank you for this opportunity to speak about your word. And Father God, you set me aside, Lord, and let nothing come from my mouth that is not of you, Lord. And I thank you, Holy Father, and I praise you. And Lord, if there's anything in my life or the listeners' lives that's unconfessed, Father, that you would just forgive us in Jesus' name and help us to receive tonight. And somebody out there needs something from you, Father, tonight, and let them know that we've met with the Lord tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we serve a mighty God, don't we? Oh, what a week I've had. I've had a week that's just been amazing that the devil's tried to shut us up and got in technically, and we just had a tenacious fight for God. And you know what? Amen. God's good. You know, we may not win this whole war, but we're certainly going to win some battles, and amen. We just keep pushing ahead. Tonight I'd like to read from Psalm 149. And Psalm 149 says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Amen. You know that word of God is a two-edged sword. Amen. Let it be in your hand. Amen. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise God. Scripture ends this chapter Psalm 149 and verse 9 says, praise ye the Lord. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. And we should praise the Lord for everything. That's one of the things we don't do in life, I think, is we don't praise the Lord enough. You know, we go through life complaining about, well, my boss said this and my boss said, I was with a young man this morning who had a flat tire. And he's a good conscientious worker, Christian man, called me this morning and said, Pastor, I'm stuck on Route 5 heading up towards Interstate 5, heading up towards J Street and Chula Vista, and I need a hand. And so I drove all the way out there, and here's a fellow that's, you know, usually on time to work, and he's a good worker. And he said, you wouldn't believe it, but my boss called me and told me I needed to take a picture of my tire being flat. My goodness, what is going on in the world today? I'm telling you. But there we are, and thank God for that. And we're going to start, if you look over in Psalm 12, I think we should start with the Word of God, and then we'll look at some different Bible versions. Right now I'm getting the information comes to me from people that write to me and call me and text me and email me, and I have a blog spot. And, you know, they're telling me that the swing now has gone from people are finding out that the NIV Bible is really corrupt, and they're starting to understand why. I mean, when you have a Bible that says King David's brother killed Goliath, you start understanding those things. And you say, well, I never heard that. Well, that's because you haven't read your Bible. Maybe you got bibliophobia. You've been afraid to read that thing. Hey, man, you need to read it. You need to be a student of the Word of God. You have to put God's Word in your heart so you can defend yourself from the devil, from the wiles of the devil, and from your own flesh. We're in a wicked world. You know, men making laws and immoral laws and abortion laws and all kinds of things. And, you know, it's legalizing drugs and all kinds of things going on in the world. And you need the Word of God in your heart. And specifically, I was speaking to somebody recently who said, you know, Pastor, I have this besetting sin and it keeps getting in my way and I keep falling down. And I said, brother, what I would recommend is that you get yourself a concordance and you find as many verses as you can that deal with the subject of your fault, of your sin. And if it's, if you were having a problem and you were stealing, then and you should put the verse in your heart from the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, thou shalt not steal. And then when you get those verses in your heart, then what will happen is when the time and the opportunity comes up, then you'll say to yourself, the Holy Spirit can bring that verse to your memory, and it's in your heart because you memorize it, and it says, thou shalt not steal, and you won't steal. Amen, Lord willing. Amen. And so, you know, the Word of God is powerful. People are saying that they're switching from the NIV to this Bible called the New Living Translation, and I happen to have a New Living Translation with me tonight, and tonight I brought along a New Living Bible that's paraphrased. I've also brought with me the Revised Standard Version, and I brought with me a King James Version Bible. It's a new King James Version, and it's by Nelson, Thomas Nelson Publishing Company. And if you ever look at the binder of it, you'd notice that there's a symbol on the binder, and you can find that symbol if you would look on, to ever see, and I don't recommend you looking at witchcraft programs and television with that nonsense, but it's a symbol of witchcraft, and it's the 666 symbol. And if you have ever seen on TV maybe a commercial for that program Charmed with the Witches, in the beginning when they open their book of shadows, you see right on the cover is the same symbol that appears on the alleged Holy Bible by Thomas Nelson, the New King James Version Bible. And that ought to alert you to something right away. You should be able to see that, and you should know that, hey, there's something wrong here. Now, I also have a Good News Bible in front of me called Today's English Version. Today's English Version. And, you know, about every 6 months there's a Bible written. Some time ago, a woman wrote a Bible from the state of Connecticut. And there's the Rainbow Bible. And I have so many Bibles. I couldn't keep all the Bibles that we have on my shelves. The New World Translation, which the Jehovah's Witnesses wrote. And you speak to a Jehovah's Witness, you say, well, before 1964, when you wrote your own Bible, what Bible were you using? And they'll say the King James Version. Well, you know, who educated you out of that? You know, who's lying to you and telling you that this King James Bible is outdated and it needs to be modernized and it needs to be updated? This is not true. It is not true. It is a plot and a ploy right out of hell to steal the Word of God from the children of God, to separate you from God by using corrupt words, and to separate you from the power of God, because there is power where there is a king, there is authority, and there is power, and there is power in the King James Bible. Amen. If you go over to the If you've ever studied the book of Revelations in the Church of Philadelphia, it says that the scriptures say that they have kept my word. I know you have kept my word. Well, doctrinally, we know those are tribulation churches, but there's an historical application to that, and you take those seven churches and you go through the seven church periods until you get to the Laodicean age, and after that, a door is open in heaven, and there's the rapture. That's where we are now in the Laodicean age. Well, when you read about that church in Philadelphia, that church was about 1600 A.D., and so you have the 1611 King James Bible, and that's the Bible that God said, Jesus Christ said, they had kept his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, how would you feel if your boss said to you tonight, now look, this is what I want you to do, and this is how you do it, but he didn't leave you a manual to do it. This is how I want you to behave. Listen, this Bible tells you how to have a relationship with God Almighty. And God, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not. Now, how can you study a book that is not the Bible and think you have the word of God? You don't. You need a King James Bible because the King James Bible is superior. It is superior to any other fake out there. I want to just take you and I talk to you just something about the history of the Bible before I get to Psalm 12. A little bit about the history of the Bible. You know, there's more evidence, and you know, you talk to people who are college educated, and they've paid $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 for a college education, and they can't even tell you how to get to heaven. You know, they'll tell you they've been educated. You tell a child Jesus Christ is God, he doesn't say, no, he's not. He doesn't say that. He has to be taught he's not. He has to be educated out of it. And that's what secular education does, teaches you that, you know, we weren't created, we evolved. But the truth is this, the historicity and the manuscript evidence for the Bible is more reliable than any other secular writing in the world. For instance, the book of Homer, or Homer's book, Homer allegedly the author of the Iliad. The book is dated about 800 B.C. Do you know the earliest copy available is 400 A.D.? In years' time, that gap is 1,200 years from the original. And the number of available copies is only 643. Herodotus, the historian, writes a historical book, and he wrote the book in 400 to 425 B.C. The earliest copy available is from 900 A.D. In gap of time from when it was written to the earliest copy that we have, 1,350 years had passed, and there's only 8 copies of it. Plato, the philosopher, his books you're talking about, 400 B.C. his writings, 400 B.C. The earliest copy that we have is from 1100 A.D., 1,400 years separates from when it was written to the earliest copy, and there's only 200 available. Livy, the historian, History of Rome, 59 B.C. to 17 A.D. The earliest copy is probably the 4th century, and it was a partial, and by the 10th century, I believe there was one complete manuscript. It's separated from the time it was written to 1,000 years later. And there's only one partial available today. Pliny Secundus, a national historian, 61 to 113 A.D. The earliest copy we have is 850 A.D. That's 750 years from when the original was written. And there's only 7 of those. Lord, have mercy. The Bible, the New Testament, was written from 50 to 100 A.D. In 114 A.D., 50 years, we have fragments, 50 years from that time when it was originally written. In 200 A.D., we have whole books. That's only 100 years. 250 A.D., most of the New Testament we had, it was 150 years from the original writing. By 325 A.D., we have the complete New Testament at 225 years from the original. Now, I want you to know, there is no secular author that is closer to the original than the Bible. The Rylan Papyrus, the fragment is 50 years from the time that Jesus Christ had died and it was written, 50 A.D. And so here we have the authenticity, the historicity of the Bible alone. In the Louvre in Paris, there's over 5 miles of books that are outdated. They are science books, and they are useless. You know, they just recently discovered, and they've been broadcasting on CNN and other stations, that how they found what is the Citadel of David in Jerusalem, the Citadel of David, King David. And for years and years, historians have been saying we don't have any proof of such a king. Listen, the Bible is not catching up with the historians. The historians are catching up with the Bible. There has never been a place, a ceremony, a tool, a rite, or a person that the Bible had written that did not exist and has been found to be in error. None. The Bible is the most reliable piece of literature in the world. It outsells more than any other secular, and when I say secular, I'm talking about non-religious authors and religious. And so when you're looking at that thing and you say, well, wow, you know, the earliest copy of Homer's Iliad, which was written in 800 B.C., is 400 A.D., 1,200 years from the original. Goodness, there's more evidence for the Bible than there is for those. Do you know that just the patristic quotes alone, patristic quotes, we're talking about Dean Bergeron, cataloged over 83,000 quotes, and they are found in the Library of England today. Sir David Dalrymple said, if every manuscript was destroyed, the Bible, the New Testament, could be put together. After his research, he found only 11 verses missing. These are quotes, patristic quotes from letters from church fathers. Justin Martyr, who lived 90 to 165 A.D. in that era, there's 268 quotes of the Gospels, 10 of the Book of Acts, 43 of the Pauline Epistles, the General Epistles 6, 3 of Revelations. Origen of Alexandria quoted 9,231 of the Gospels, 9,231 times. Acts, he quoted, there's 394. Pauline Epistles, 7,778. The General Epistles, 399. Of the Book of Revelations, he quotes 165 times. That's a total of 17,922 quotes in his writings alone. Bergeron went through and he studied this thing out, and he found that the Gospels had been quoted in the Church Fathers' Epistles in the patristic quotes. He said 83,000 quotes. Amen. And I've just mentioned a few of them. There's Irenaeus, there's Tertullian, there's Hippolytus, there's Eusebius, and just those five or six, seven people alone quoted 36,289 times, and they line up with the King James Version Bible. So you say, well, where did we get these new Bibles from? Well, you know, the providential, when I say providential, it was up to God to preserve the Word of God, not the Lachman Foundation, not Thomas Nelson Publishing or any other publishing. God would preserve his own word. And so you have two lines of manuscripts. You have, and when I say manuscripts, I'm talking about when I said there is more evidence for biblical manuscripts than there is for secular manuscripts, you have 5,200 and over 5,230 manuscripts and parts of the Textus Receptus available today. And so you have two lines where the Bible comes from predominantly. It either came from Antioch, where the apostles were, where the original New Testament manuscripts were written from 30 to 90 A.D., or it comes from Alexandria, Egypt, where you have the papyrus manuscripts, 200 A.D., Clement, Origen, Eusebius, the Vatican, Sinaiticus. You know that the manuscript called Sinaiticus and Vaticanus are two of the most corrupt manuscripts known today. Now, the truth is this. They disagree with each other in over 3,000 places in the Gospels alone. The Vaticanus was found in the Vatican Library in 14-something. Sinaiticus was found at the bottom of Mount Sinai at St. Catherine's in a garbage can by a man named Tischendorf. And these two manuscripts are primarily the foundational manuscripts along with the Alexandrius manuscript, and they are the primary manuscripts used to produce these new Bibles. And from them come the ASV, the RSV, the JB, the LB, the TEV, the NEV, the NIV, you know, NIV, you know, the NASB, the GNB, the NRSB, the NAB, the CEV, the NCV, the ESV, NBV, NKJV, footnotes, and text, NWT, and the message, etc., etc., etc. Listen, if I had an auto mechanic and I brought my car to him and he had to fix it 50 to 60 to 70 times in the last 10 years, I get rid of that mechanic, amen? And that's what you have. Somebody's been fixing your King James Bible. They're going to write a better version. They're going to get a better one. They're going to improve. And they've been so much now that they have so many Bibles, and none of them are the same. Why not? How come when I get a new King James Version, it comes from the same manuscripts, Alexandrian, as today's English Bible? As the New English Bible, as the New Living Translation, as the New Living Bible, how come they don't say the same thing? Why are the words different? Well, the reason why the words are different is because there's a copyright on those things. You can't steal my material if I write. I can write a Bible today. You can't copy it because I'll copyright it. And then I'll sell it. And you can't copy it. You see? And so that's the trick. There's no copyright on a King James Bible. The only thing you'll find if you find a copyright is somebody's notes. If you have a study Bible, that's what's copywritten, is the notes. Not the text of the King James Bible, but all your new Bibles have copyright, so of course they can't say the same thing. Listen, if we all go to church and we all have a different Bible, how are we ever going to understand the Word of God? What? That's confusion. That's Babel. We're in Babel. All right. Goodness, there was, if you'll look with me, I'll just run through a quick little lesson for you that you can write down if you'd like. I'd advise it, but take a look and at Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, and then I'm going to compare it with some of these Bibles that I have sitting in front of me. Just two verses. Notice what it says in 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Okay? Now, I'm going to open up a Bible here. Let me just pick one off my desk. This is called the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation says in verses 6 and 7, the Lord's promises are pure like silver refined in a furnace, purified seven times over. Verse 7, therefore, Lord, we know you will protect the oppressed, preserving them forever from this lying generation. What? What is he talking about? That's not what verse 7 says. Verse 7 says, thou shalt keep them. Who is them? Them is the word of God of verse 6. Verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. verse 7 says, thou shalt keep them. Thou shalt keep what? Thou shalt keep them. Thou shalt keep the words of God. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them. Who's them? The word of God. So there, from when? From this generation forever. Now, that's what Jesus said. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not. Now, you see, just a little slick change of the words changed the whole context. What they're saying over here in this New Living Bible says in verse 7, therefore, Lord, we know you will protect the oppressed. What does the oppressed have to do with his word? Nothing. They've changed the word from keep them being the word of God in verse 6, and they've changed it to protecting Israel or the oppressed. Shame on them. One little word they snuck in on you there that really made the difference. Let's look at today's English Bible. I have before me, today's English version. It's called the Good News Bible. Good News Bible. Well, let's see what kind of good news that'll give us. Let's compare that verse. And then I'm going to give you verses to prove what I'm talking about in the King James Bible. And you can sit back and say, oh, who's been fooling us? Well, whoever's teaching you that stuff. Here's what it says in this Bible. It has verse 6 says, the promises of the Lord can be trusted. They are as genuine as silver refined seven times in the furnace. Listen, the King James doesn't say that. The King James says the words of the Lord, not the promises. The words of the Lord are pure words. Amen? The words, you say, what's the difference? Well, let's look at the next verse. Okay? Verse 7 is combined with verse 8 in this Bible, and it says the wicked are everywhere, and everyone praises what is evil. Keep us safe always, O Lord, and preserve us, Israel, from such people. No, no, no. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that. It says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. The words of the Lord are pure words, a silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, the words, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Here, let's take a look at the Revised Standard Version. Let me see if I can find that Psalms in the Revised Standard Version for you. And we'll do a little comparison right there. Now, remember, I'm going to give you verses to substantiate what I'm saying. Then we'll look at a couple other verses. But Psalm 12, 6 and 7, here's what it says. The promises of the Lord are promises that are pure. Silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. Do thou, O Lord, protect us, guard us from this wicked generation. Another corruption, another fraud, stealing. Now, what you have in your King James Version Bible is the doctrine of the preservation of the Bible. These are two key verses which tell you that God is preserving his word. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in furnace of earth purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them. Who? The words, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. Who? The words, O Lord, from this generation forever. Oh, Lord, have mercy. They just destroyed the doctrine of the preservation of the Bible. Now, here, I want to show you something. Let me give you some history. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. How many times? Seven times. God counts by sevens. You and I, the Gentile, we count by ten. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We start all over again. 11, we're back at 1. 12, back at 2. God counts by sevens. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 feasts. 7 times 7, 49. Jubilee. 7 days of creation. Amen? So God counts by sevens. Now, we know that he said in verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Well, there were seven translations of the Bible to get to your King James Bible. You had the Tyndale, the Coverdale, the Matthew, the Great Bible, the Geneva Bible, the Bishop King James. Now, Wycliffe is excluded because Wycliffe used Jerome's corrupt Latin version. where you get the Douay Rheims Bible of Catholicism. So there you have, he said that his word is tried, purified seven times. Well, here's another history lesson. Seven steps to the King James Version Bible, seven translations of manuscripts. Then you get to the seven world languages: Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, Old Syriac, Old Latin, German, and number seven, English. So there's his word. It's purified seven times. And so we see that. And you know, God has a way of doing things. When God says something twice, Adam, Adam, Samuel, Samuel. But when he says it three times, you're in trouble. Oh, earth, earth, earth. You know, Konaniah, mark this man cursed. And so what we have here is the doctrine of the preservation of this Bible, the King James Bible. Now, he said, the psalmist says that thou shalt preserve them, the words of God. Now, Matthew believed that. Matthew believed it, and Matthew preached it. Matthew believed that God would preserve his words, and Matthew wrote about it in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Matthew 24, verse 35. 24, verse 35. Here's what Matthew said. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew is quoting Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said that, and Matthew believed it, and if he didn't, he would not have written it in his gospel. Amen? You know, Isaiah believed it. You look at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. I'll wait for you to get there. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Matthew believed it. Isaiah believed it. Look at 1 Peter 1:25. 1 Peter 1:25. You could not cross-reference these verses in your Bible if you were studying it because they changed the words. Thou shalt preserve them. You would not know that them is the Word of God. So you could not do a cross-reference to the preservation of the Word of God if you had a new Bible, a new modern perversion. You can't. It destroys this doctrine. A doctrine is a teaching. 1 Peter 1:25. Okay? Let me get there with you. 1 Peter 1:25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The Bible. That's what's preached unto you. Amen? And so the word of God is preserved. Peter believed it. Matthew believed it. Isaiah believed it. Jesus Christ spoke about it. You're in the book of Psalms. Go look at Psalm 100, verse number 5. Psalm 100, verse number 5. You know, Hosea says that my people, or 4:6, says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My brethren, you are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. You have failed to study the word. You have taken somebody's word who came before you and said there's no difference between these translations. A lie is a lie is a lie. And the fact is that that's a lie. Now I want you to look at Psalm 100 verse 5. It says, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And you say, well, brother, what's that truth got to do with anything? Well, his truth endureth to all generations. Well, I want you to look with me because I don't want to get ahead of you there. You come on over with me to the book of John. Look at chapter 17, the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, you know, the Lord is praying this prayer. John chapter 17, and I'm getting there myself. And if you look at John chapter 17, verse number 17, remember what he said in Psalm 100. He said that his truth endureth forever. Here you go. John 17:70, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. God's word is truth. Thy truth endureth forever, Psalm 105. Amen? And so the word of God endures forever. It is God who preserves his word, not you and I, not the Lockman Foundation. And the truth is the church has to take some blame in allowing these corrupt versions, because the church should have produced or reproduced the proper manuscripts instead of some holding company, instead of a Lockman Foundation. Now, if you look at chapter 12 back in Psalms, and remember what I had, Psalm 12, remember the words now. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Seven translations of the King James, seven world languages to the English. Okay? His word. We're talking about the word. Verse 7 says, thou shalt keep them. The word. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them. The word. From this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Amen. That's right. And so somebody said, oh, well, that's out of context. See, he's saying in verse 5, for the oppressed, for the poor, and the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Amen. The words of the Lord. And then they want to put it in the context. They want to wrestle it. Listen, the doctrine of the preservation of the word of God stands true in the Bible. Okay, here's another verse. Here's another verse. Let's all go over to Isaiah for a moment. Let's look at Isaiah. And I believe it's Isaiah 14:12. Isaiah 14:12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Okay, let's see what the Good News Bible teaches us today. Okay? The Good News Bible. And I don't know, to be honest. I haven't looked at this Good News Bible as well as I have the NIV and those. I know what the NIV says. How art thou cast out of heaven, thou morning star? That's what the NIV says. It took out the word Lucifer and put in morning star. But when you get to the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation says Jesus Christ is the morning star. And so the NIV threw Jesus Christ out of heaven. And people say to me, well, you know, my pastor teaches out of that, out of an NIV, and what's wrong with it? Bro, I got to tell you what's wrong with it. All you got to do is check those two verses. You know what's wrong with it. Listen, if a Bible threw Jesus Christ out of heaven, it's not of God. It's not of God. So what's wrong with the man that's using it? And what is wrong with you for sitting under a man who's using it? You need to get out of that church, or you need to throw that pastor out of there and get him into sound doctrine. You need to tell him right up, listen, pastor, you're using a corrupt Bible. Your Bible, that NIV, says that Jesus Christ was thrown out of heaven. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, that's what it says. And that's a shame. Here you go. Here's what today's English version says in 14:12. King of Babylon, morning star, you have fallen from heaven. Listen, he didn't fall from heaven. He was cast out of heaven. Amen? All right? So he fell out of heaven. All right, let's look at, let's see what else we have here. Let's go. You know, and some of the NIVs have made some changes, but you can't fool the people. You can't fool the people. You know, you can make all the changes you want. You've destroyed the doctrine of the preservation of the Word of God. You know, if you have an NIV, you should read the book of John, the Gospel of John, and you should read the part where Judas Iscariot is with the Lord, and it's the Lord's Supper, and Judas is removed from the Lord's table before the Lord gives the bread, breaks bread and blesses it, and gives it to the apostles. They get rid of Judas in an NIV in the book of John. Well, why do they do that? Well, because it's a corrupt version, because Catholicism is involved in that thing. You see, because in Catholicism, if you receive you get eternal life by the seven sacraments, and one of those is to eat that host, that round wafer shaped like the sun. And you eat that host, and that's the bread which they bless, and they believe that they're turning it into the flesh of Christ, and you get eternal life by eating that bread. So if Judas Iscariot had eaten that bread, he would have gained eternal life. And so they got to get rid of him before the Lord's Supper. You ought to study that thing. The problem is you're not studying it. You're just reading it. You're just reading it. Now they say that the day star, son of the dawn, this is what the Revised Version says, how you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the dawn. Son of the dawn, okay? The day star is thrown out of heaven. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to just go over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 9. Ain't the right thing here? 2 Peter 1:19. So look at verse 19. Here's what it says. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arises in your heart. Jesus Christ is the day star that arises in your heart. But when you read this corrupt version, it says, how art thou falling from heaven, O day star, son of the dawn? Listen, Jesus Christ is the bright and morning star. These Bibles have thrown Jesus Christ out of heaven and made him equal with the devil, being cast down. And if you're saying, well, that's just one place, listen, a little poison is enough of poison. You can't be a little pregnant. These Bibles are pregnant with evil and corruption. Not a little. Well, only the original manuscript. Listen, God said in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, that he would preserve his word forever. And somewhere, someplace on this earth, God Almighty has preserved his word. And that's in your King James Bible, not in your New King James Bible. You start looking and comparing these Bibles, you're going to be mighty shocked at what you're going to find, but you're not comparing them. And the other problem is some of you won't even be honest with yourself. Oh, well, I like my church anyway. Hey, listen, your church is using a Bible that's corrupt. You got a corrupt church. The pastor's using a corrupt Bible. He's a corrupt pastor. And you know what happens? When the head's sick, the body gets sick. You might have numbers, you might have a lot of money, you might have great music, but I'll tell you what, you got a dead pastor. He's corrupt. God's not going to use that thing. It's a shame. Let me look at, I'm just curious now what this other Bible I have here says for Isaiah 14, verse number 12. Let me see. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Amen. Somebody got it okay. The Living Bible paraphrased. All right? But they still changed all the other verses. You know that the beginning verse in the Bible is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? Seven Hebrew words in the Hebrew text. Seven is how the Jews counted, because God counted by sevens. In your King James Version Bible, a Gentile reads it, and he finds that the number of the Gentile is 10. Genesis chapter 10, you find the Gentile nations. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius the Gentile gets saved. 10 in the Bible represents the Gentiles, and then you find that Gentiles count by 10. The first verse in the Bible in Hebrew is seven letters, and in English, it's 10 letters. Oh, Gentile message. And I want you to know something else. Every other Bible has changed the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. They changed it to heavens. Another doctrine stolen. Now, I've got about 10 minutes left here, but I'm not done. I want you to go one other place with me. I'd like you to go over and look at Acts in the book of Acts, if you go over to Acts and you say, well, you know, that's one thing. Okay, I'll give you. Let's go look. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. Okay? This is the story of Philip. And Philip, he's walking along, and he sees the eunuch, and the eunuch's riding along, and Philip hears him reading the Bible. And in the custom of that age, men read out loud. They didn't read to themselves. And so Philip heard them, and they had the conversation. And the scripture says, in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. He's teaching him Jesus from the Bible. And as they went on their way, verse 36, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. Okay? So, let's take a look at a New Living Translation. No different than really NLD, but we'll go to the NLT. And we'll go over to Acts. If you have one of these Bibles, you know, you're welcome to follow me along. If you don't, it's okay to have them in the house just to show you what's wrong with them. You know, sometimes these NIVs and stuff can help you in the summer. You can prop them up against the door and get some cool air in the house because they're really not good for much else. But, you know, people say, well, a guy can get saved out of it. Listen, a God could use anything to get somebody saved, okay? So cut that out. We're not only to get saved, we're to maintain our salvation. We get, you know, the psalmist said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And the next verse in Psalm 119, he says, in the same verse, he answers, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy word. Hey, you get cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, but you stay clean by the word of God, by the washing of the word. Amen? Now, overhearing this New Living Translation, here's what we read. We get down to verse 34, verse 36. Okay, here's 36. And as they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? Verse 38. He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Now, wait a minute. That's not what your Bible said if you have a King James Bible. Somebody's changed something. Somebody wants you to be saved, not with your heart belief, but by water. Somebody wants you to be a water dog. Somebody wants your sewer system to be your God. Now look, here's what the King James Version says. Let me give it to you again. And as they went on their way, they came onto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You have to believe in your heart. Romans says, with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and, you know, confession is made with your mouth. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, and he said, I believe. He made the confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, they took that out of the New Living Translation. It doesn't say that. It says, as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And he ordered the carriage to stop. And they went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. What happened to the confession that Jesus Christ is the Lord? What happened to the heart confession? Philip said, if you believe in your heart, that's not in your New Living Bible. In other words, the New Living Bible is teaching you that you get salvation through baptism, through water baptism. That's not what the Bible says, my friends. Somebody stole something out of that Bible, and if a young Christian was there and he was to read that, he would say, oh, I can get saved by being baptized in water. No. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. But they took that verse out. Who doesn't want you to know that? Oh, well, that's just one verse. Oh, really? Well, cross-reference the verse without it. You can't. You see, because if you look up the word in a Strong's Concordance, heart believeth in thine heart, then you would be taken over to Romans, where it tells you that the confession is made with thy mouth, and the belief is in your heart. Man believeth unto salvation. You can't cross-reference that. They've destroyed another doctrine. Last place we're going to go to tonight. If you'll go with me to 1 John, we'll go over to 1 John. That's chapter 5. Notice this is two verses. And I'll wait for you to get there. While you're getting there, I'm going to take this very nice counterfeit of God's Word, the Tyndale Holy Bible, New Living Translation, and I'm going to go over to 1 John in that book. But you go over in your King James, and if you don't and you're using the Bible I'm using, well, go ahead. I'm not using this except for an example, and I'll show you. Okay? Now, 1 John chapter 5, and if you look at see that in verse 6 it says, this is he that came by water and blood. This is he that came by water and blood. Okay? Let me get there again. Okay. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. All right? Come on. Look at verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. There's the Trinity. And these three are one. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, let me read you what the New Living Translation says. The New Living Translation says in verse number 7, we'll start in verse number 7. So we have these three witnesses. That's it. The rest of it's gone. Then it has the Spirit, the water, the blood, and all three agree. Let me read that to you one more time. Okay? Here's what verse 7 says. So we have these three witnesses, the water, that's verse 8, and the blood, and all three agree. Did you notice what's missing? Let me read it to you how it's supposed to read. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. My friends, they have taken verse 7 and cut it off. They said, for these three, that's it, these three. Did you get it? They took out the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit out of verse 7. So we have these three witnesses. That's the end of verse 7. And then they go to verse 8. So in other words, they've removed the record in heaven of the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They took the Trinity out of your Bible. The Trinity. You say, oh, well, here it is here. For there are three that bear record in heaven. Yeah, but verse 8 says there's three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Listen, whoa, whoa, whoa. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. Yes, the Holy Spirit. Amen. The water is the Word of God, where the water can be the baptism of Jesus Christ, and the blood is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But the Trinity in heaven is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He said he is Alpha and Omega. And if he's the first letter and the last letter, he's every letter in between. And somebody has stolen the rest of verse 7 out of the Bible, destroying the doctrine of the Holy Trinity in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, why do you want to use a Bible like that? Lord have mercy. You need to go to a dime store, if they have anything like that anymore. Go to Walmart, Kmart, the 99-cent store. You can buy a Bible out here in California for 99 cents. You can get a King James Bible. My goodness, you can't study the Bible if they keep taking doctrines out of it. They're destroying the doctrine of the Trinity. They've removed in these new Bibles, in over 100 different places, you're going to find that they've removed the blood of Christ, the word, the blood of Christ. They don't want to talk about blood. They removed the word of hell. Just get a King James Bible and compare these verses and look for yourself. You would be shocked. They are stealing the word of God from you. They're watering it down. It's the word of man. You have the right Bible, the King James Bible. Hallelujah. And I've just given you three simple examples. Just three. And there are thousands of examples that I could give you today. I could give you, listen, you're saying, okay, I'm doing good. I don't use the New Living Translation. I don't use the Revised Version. I don't use the Jehovah's Witness Bible, the New World Translation. Well, I use a New King James. Okay, you use a New King James? Well, we can do some comparisons there. Jesus Christ said, listen, the Bible says in the King James Version, narrow is the way. The New King James says difficult is the way. All right? God, King James Version said God answers him in Ecclesiastes 5:20. The New King James says God keeps him busy. The King James Version says the world to come. The New King James says the age to come. All right? Lord have mercy. It says in the King James Version, from the beginning of the world, Acts 15:8. New King James Version says from eternity. New King James Version is following evolution. First Corinthians 15:45, this is evolution. Adam became a living being. He became one. Well, what did he evolve? The King James Version says Adam was made a living soul. He was made one. He was created one. Here's what it says. The King James Version, he that should come in Luke 19:20. The New King James says the coming one. Matthew 11:3, the coming one. King James Version, he that should come. John 7:18, the one. King James, he, his. Now I want you to know, the coming one in the age of Aquarius, in modernism, in Luciferian doctrine, that word, the coming one, is used. And the coming one is not Jesus Christ, I assure you, in their Bible and their Luciferian satanic doctrine. And so there are so, listen, religious, here's some religious tolerance. One world religion. New King James Version called somebody, they're of a certain sect. The King James Version says they're heresy. Acts 17:22 says they were very religious. The King James Version says they're too superstitious. They weren't religious, they were superstitious. Acts 4:25, nations, 148 times they've changed instead of the word heathen. Acts 8:49, astonished, they put. No, the Bible says they were bewitched. Acts 25:19, again, religion. The Bible says, King James, superstition. 2 Corinthians 10:15, casting down arguments. Casting down arguments. No, the King James Version says casting down imaginations, not arguments, imaginations. Titus 3:10, reject the device of man. That's not what the Bible says. The King James Version says a heretic reject. You know why they don't write that stuff in their new Bibles? Because they are heretics and they don't want to be shamed by it. Somebody will know what they're doing. They're peddling the Word of God. You know, the Christ. The Christ. Listen, they take in Psalm 109, verse 6 in the New King James Version Bible, they take out the word Satan. Well, it's in your King James. In Romans 6:22, they have slaves instead of servants. 22 times they take the word out of a, 22 times they omit hell and they put in Hades. 81 times they get rid of, they write demons and get rid of devils. Mark of the beast, right? The change was, you know, a pimp. They had a file for their cultures. Works in progress, all right? Here's one. There's a difference between somebody who imitates Christ and somebody who follows Christ. If I'm walking in the snow and you're walking in my footprints, you are following me. But if you walk alongside my footprints, then you're imitating my footprints and my way. And the King James of the Jehovah's Witness Version uses that. 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate Christ. I mean, you know, there's so many places. The New King James Bible in Matthew 18:19 says teacher. In the King James it says master. Now they demoted him from a master to a teacher. Matthew 19:16, good teacher. The Bible says the King James, good master. They admit he shall appear in Isaiah 66:5. they change. One is your teacher, the Christ. No, one is your master, even Christ. Now, there's a big difference between one is your teacher, the Christ, one is your master, even Christ. My goodness, they demote the Lord. New King James Version says in Matthew 23:10, and do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. No, the Bible actually says neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. The Bible says clearly in Corinthians that he gave us preachers and teachers. Okay? Now, I just want to run down a real quick list here because I got to roll out. It's getting late, but I want you to know that the King James, New King James Version omits the word Lord 66 times. It omits the word God 51. It omits the word heaven 50 times. It omits the word repent 44 times. It takes out the blood of Jesus Christ 23 times. It omits the word hell 22 times. It omits the word Jehovah entirely. It is not found in a New King James Bible. It omits the word New Testament entirely. The New King James omits the word damnation entirely. It omits the word devils entirely. It ignores the King James Version manuscript over 1,200 times. The New King James Version has replaced the King James Hebrew Mencken with the corrupt Stuttgart. You know, the edition of Ben Asher in the Old Testament. Here's the foolish things they tell you. Well, you know, it's easier to read. Is it really? I'm going to give you the first word comes from a New King James, and the next word comes from the King James. Tell me which word's easier. Stomach, belly. More shrewd, wiser. Minas, pounds. Delegation, message. Embarkment, trench. Donations, gifts. Word traveling, went. Comprehend, understand. Inferior, worse. Livestock, cattle. Money box, bag. Figure of speech, proverb. Detachment of troops. King James is band of men. Praetorium, New King James. Hall of judgment, perplexed, doubting. Figurative language, that's what the New King James says for John 16:25. No, the Lord said proverbs. John 19:7, according to our law. No, King James says by our law. A tunic, the hard word. Right? New King James Version. What's a tunic? Go ask a kid, what's a tunic? He knows what a coat is because that's what the King James Version. Listen, the King James Version Bible is written in a fourth or fifth grade education level. Bygone generations. No, it's time past. And so you have all these words that have been changed, and they're telling you, they're fooling you. They're saying, oh, they're easy. We've written it so it's easier, really, to vindicate or to judge, to resolve or to judge. Listen, New King James Version, mortal men. And that die. A denarii. There's your New King James. What's a denarii? The King James Version says a penny worth. The New King James says the Areopagus. The Areopagus. Mars Hill is what the Bible says. The New King James says riboliths for little rivers. Elders for old man. Hades for hell. Kiva for linen yarn. Pim for a file. You mean this is easier? Praetorium for judgment hall. Skillful, right? Governing authorities for higher powers, sloops for pitchers, waifs for fatherless, walk prudently, you know, keep the foot. It's just a shame. Archives for the House of Rolls. Okay, here's a good one for the King James says quicksand. The New King James says in Acts 27:17, Certus Sands. What? Yeah, Certus Sands. I'm telling you, it's a shame. It's just a shame what they've done. They've even changed Mark 7:4. New King James says couches. King James says tables. What do you mean couches? You know, the abyss, the deep, approach. There's an easier word, right? You know, the divider. Now he's an arbitrator. Prodigal. They put prodigal for riotous. And they're fooling you. They're fooling you. You know? You go to these churches, they haven't changed their hymns. They're still singing, thine is the kingdom, thou art the Lord. Listen, when God says thou in the Bible, you know he's talking to you. If he says you need to get, you know, you people need this, you can mean many. But when he says thou, thou art, then you know he's talking to you, thou, to one person. You can be many or one. You sing it. thou, speaking of God, thou art the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. I am thou servant, thy servant, thy. You know, it's just a shame of how we allow people to educate us out of our Bibles. Now, I heard a noise in the background here. I hope that's Brother Andy.
Yeah, I'm here, brother. Let me tell you. Yeah, you
come
got
on,
me?
Brother. Yeah, come on, brother.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I've been listening to every word. And study to show thyself approved. See, I've noticed this in various churches that I've been in ever since I was saved when I was 42. Now I'm 75. But that used to, I'd go home and I have the New King James and I'd read, and it wasn't the same word. The words were changed. And I said, oh, my gosh, in heaven, you know, who's teaching me these things? Are they knowledgeable? No, they're not knowledgeable. If they were knowledgeable, I wouldn't have to go and find out the truth, you see. But I say to you all out there tonight, you've heard the trueness of God's word. What it is, what it should be today, which it isn't. They've changed it. And when I have a street ministry here in Chester, South Carolina.
You know,
and,
brother, I'd like to interrupt you there for a second because recently, you know, Brother Andrew's down there in Chester, South Carolina, and Brother Andrew's out on the street. He street preaches, and he goes to the truck stops, and he's in the city, you know, in the towns, and he's on the street, and he's putting out the word of God. He's putting out the word of God, and in a town where he's at, he can tell you the story. They've tried to push him, to subdue him, to stop him from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's gone so far as to as members of the government, local members of the government, were trying to stop Brother Andrew from preaching. And thank God that, you know, God has people in the right place, and somebody recently wrote an article vindicating him and condemning those council members, and you know, they're trying to stifle the word of God and trying to stop us from defending the United States of America as a Christian nation. You know, it's a shame. How are you surviving that, brother?
How I survive it? Oh, that's very easy. When they came against me 2 years ago, and recently they came against me again, I said to Nona, this time, my wife, I said, Nona, don't worry about it. God's in control. Because why? Because he says he's in control. And I said, and then 2 days later, this fellow by the name of John Massey, a very good Christian man, wrote a beautiful article telling these people off on the council that what they're doing is not a godly thing, and they should be going after the kids in the schools that are being taught Muslim in different places, and they can't have a Jesus prayer in school. You see, this
Amen.
Is the problem. But what I say is Christ is always in control, all the time. He's in control. If you have to believe in his word. He will not leave you or forsake you. He's there every split second, every mini second of the. He can hear you and you talk. Now, I'm going to tell you, people, I've been through a lot of things. Can I hear you? Yeah?
Hey, man. Come on,
okay.
Bro.
Can I continue?
Yes, brother. Go ahead.
Okay, and I've seen a lot of things, but when God put me out in the streets, I could see that, okay, he told me to just be together and preach the truth, show love, my love. And that's what I do. And showing God's love evidently antagonized the people who say they're Christian. And I don't know. But anyway, I'm not going to judge them. All I know is I love God and what Dr. Peter said tonight, everybody. Let me tell you, he's telling you the truth. He's telling you the truth. And the love of God is so pronounced throughout the whole Bible. I mean, my Lord in heaven. But if you're ready tonight to admit your sins right here and now on this broadcast, admit your sins and come to Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus Christ. You might say, well, how do I come to Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, do you believe in God? If you believe in God, fine. Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, which was left here to help us and all. Do you believe in that? Do you believe that God sent his own Son to earth for the salvation of mankind and died on the cross? And on the third day he arose again. If you believe in that and repent for your sins, right here and now, you are saved. And find yourself a church now. Find yourself a church that doesn't, I call it surface preaching. And not reaching the depth and the quality of what God has to offer. You run from that church. You run from that church as fast as you can. And you find a church. And you get your King James Bible, and you go into this new church, and you compare what this guy is saying, what this pastor is saying. And most of the time, you'll find out it's completely out of whack. So anyway, I say this to you tonight. I love you very much. I love you, Peter. You're wonderful. Very, extremely knowledgeable, and that's very good. So I say to you all tonight, God bless you all, and pray for our country, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank you for extending that invitation to our listeners. And the truth of the matter is that God's alive, and he loves us, and the adversary is alive, and he's out to destroy the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to study our Word to read it. And if you mm-hmm. just come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can call us at the radio station, or you can call 203-247-0377, and I'd personally like to speak with you, and I'd like to send you some literature, or you can go to ventura.peter77@gmail.com, and I'd be more than happy to speak with you. We thank Nathan for his time, Brother D.L., we thank them for this guest spot, we thank you, Andrew, for coming on this evening, and we love you. We want to thank those who have been praying for us locally here and around the world. We want to thank Scott Angelica and Marty and Raymond. And, you know, Brother Raymond's still around. He's been very busy. And he co-hosted a program with me recently where we had a missionary on from Brazil. We'll have him back on again. You know, you can archive any one of these programs. You can go to Nathan on the Spot, go to Sound Doctrine Broadcast. You can archive them. And if you miss something, you can pick it up. We have Sound Doctor preaching next week. We have the Ladies Christian Night on the 15th. We're going to have the Ladies Christian Night. And ladies, you want to tune in, and you'll have a blessing. We have Sister Joanne Woody from Iris, Florida, who's been in the church since she was 11 years old, and she was married to a wonderful, great chaplain. And you would be blessed to come and listen to the ladies. My wife will be there co-hosting with her, and we'd be glad to hear from you. You can call in and talk. All you have to do is dial the radio station, 347-945-5416, and just push 1, extension 1, and put you right in the host queue, and you can talk live to the ladies, and any program you can talk to us. We're happy to have you. And I want to thank my wife, Marilyn, for all she does and for all the support she gives me. You know, there's nothing like having a Christian wife who loves you. And Andrew, as you know, you have your wife Nona, who's a wonderful woman and loves you very much. And there's nothing like it when God puts you together with the right person, and it's a blessing. And so if you're looking for a husband or you're looking for a wife, you need to go to the Lord and ask the Lord to find them for you, you know. You might be looking for the wrong kind of person and not the person that the Lord knows you need. Amen. We're materialistic people, and, you know, we look at things from the flesh, but God looks upon the spirit, and he'll find you a helpmeet if you don't have one. I want to thank you, Nathan, and we'll have a prayer here. And Father God, we thank you, as we do every week, Father. We thank you for this opportunity to reach out, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord, to touch hearts and to change minds. And we thank you, God, for this opportunity. We ask you, God, that you would bless those who are ill, those who have asked for prayer, Lord, for sicknesses that are unspoken, Lord, and those who need you tonight, Father, those who have received you, Lord, and that if somebody who heard something here, Lord, it would help them, Lord, to change the direction and where they're going, Lord, and how they read and look at their Bible. And we thank you, Holy Father. We praise you for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your sacrifice. Thank you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Good night, folks.
Good night.